from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy White.
What? What preseason?
This is called a neuralizer. It's a gift from some friends from out of town. This red eye here will isolate the electronic impulses in your brains, and more specifically the ones for memory.
And Joe DiBiase.
Other than the Ravens are good in the preseason.
I am just a figment of your imagination.
I got nothing. Everything is immediately forgotten as soon as you play one game. Yeah, one snap. Time to play the game. No one remembers that a preseason happened.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Is that true? Do we forget everything the moment it happens?
I mean, you said it.
I did say it. Did it end up being true? Last year, what do we remember about the preseason? I remember them getting, you know, some criticism for not looking good against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then having to play the next week after that because they looked so poor against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I remember Anthony Richardson looking really good for the Colts against the Bills. I think, did Terrell Bernard have a big play in that game? See, again, this is like very, because these are the regular season games. You'll go back, you'll think about them, maybe you'll go back and watch the highlights of them, you know, the wins and the losses. Oh, we all remember about Denver, right? Like 12 men on the field, the blitz at the end, you know, like we've gone back and thought about those plays. No one thinks about the preseason plays again after they happen, but my memory of the preseason last year, yeah, here we go. Pick six, returned for a touchdown by, no, this can't be right. Darius Rush? Okay, no, never mind. That, no idea. No clue what's going on. You know who that is? Is it a name? That can't be right. That's not a name I've like ever remember, heard in my life.
I feel like I remember this happening, though. Like, I don't know who the guy is.
Darius Rush?
I remember it happening. I just don't know who.
Yeah.
I don't even remember if anyone like got all excited about it. I think it just kind of happened.
Oh,
that was that.
You know why? Because it's the other way around. Darius Rush, here we go. I didn't even know what team he played for. Darius Rush was a Colt that picked off Kyle Allen and returned it for a touchdown. That's what happened there. Okay. So he was not a Bill. The interception. Yeah, again, this is really... Here's the game log, the drive chart from that Bills-Colts opener last year. Second and six in the first drive, Anthony Richardson pass short, intended for Isaiah McKenzie, intercepted by Dane Jackson. And then Dane Jackson returned that for a big gain. I don't see a big Terrell Bernard play. Maybe the year before there was a big Terrell Bernard play. Again, I guess my preseason memory should be just don't even bother. I remember a Bears comeback from a couple of years ago. I remember quarterback competitions where Nate Peterman had a good preseason and then beat out Josh Allen because of it. Anyone remember Allen's first preseason game? He uncorked his first pass, 70 yards. It went way out of bounds. Josh, see if you can... I don't know how you would find this. Actually, I do know how you would find this. You would have to search the date. But Murph's call on Josh Allen's first preseason throw of his Bills career. So the first throw he ever made in that stadium with a Bills uniform on. This would have been the 2018 season against Carolina. So August 9th of 2018. Just take a peek. See if anything's left over from in there. Allen's first year. 8-9-18. The Bills lost 28-23. As if the result matters. Here we go again. Preseason pledge. And how long now... Is it one game? Is it happened already before we proclaim, all right, I'm ready for real games? In fact, actually, I was hanging out on the sidelines watching practice the other day. By the way, Joe DiBiase, good morning. Jeremy's off today. Loaded show for you today. We'll get Paul Hamilton in along the way. He was covering practice yesterday. Adam Krautwurst will join us to talk a little bit of fantasy in the 8 o'clock hour. And then my brother Lou DiBiase from Locked On Eagles is going to join us at 9 on this, I think I want to call it bombshell story that ESPN dropped a couple days ago, that there is a big fractured relationship between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. So get Lou in for a few minutes coming up at 9 o'clock, a little bit later on the show. So plenty of time for your phone calls before that at 803-0550. I got a Kyrie Elam question that I want to ask everybody. A little bit on position groups that we're worried about. And I want to figure out today, over the course of today's show, maybe even in the first segment here, where do the Bills rank in their division at each position? Because I was watching the New England game yesterday. New England was hosting Carolina in a rainy preseason affair. And I'm listening and I'm watching their broadcast and I'm seeing their depth chart and I'm going, you know, this defense is pretty good. This defense is pretty good. And there's a couple young receivers that I like here. I don't think they're going to be a good receiving core this year. They're too young, and they don't have a number one. But Javon Baker, this guy looks pretty nice. Pop Douglas, it's a player I like. Jalen Polk, same thing. He didn't really play a lot last night. So New England's got some interesting pieces, but their receivers are too young. They're too young to do anything of real consequence, and their quarterback situation, I think, is going to help sink them. I think their coaching staff is still... I'm never going to bet on a Belichick coach tree guy. But I was looking at their depth chart and thinking, how many of these are they better than the Bills at? And then, all right, wait, where do the Bills rank in the division? This is a transition year. Their roster is not the same as it's been. It's not as strong as it's been. 2 years ago, they were the best roster in football by everyone's account. How many positions would we say they have the best of in the AFC East? Which is where my focus is at the moment for this season. Transition year, focus on the division first. You get there, and then we'll see. But as we go through memory lane here in the preseason just a little bit, tomorrow against the Bears, 1 o'clock kickoff, Saturday 1 o'clock game. We'll have pregame starting at 8 a.m. here on WGR. I'll hit the airwaves at 10 from the stadium tomorrow for Bills countdown to kickoff. So Bills and Bears tomorrow. We'll see Caleb Williams. We'll see, I think, Roma Dunze. I don't know about DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, not David Montgomery, DeAndre Swift, some of the other big names that the Bears have going into this year. But I'm looking at this 18 preseason. That's the last preseason I feel like I cared at all about. At all.
I did find the play.
You found the play?
But it's not Murph on the call.
It's not Murph? Okay, no. It's got to be Murph. No, if it's not Murph, that's fine.
Well, it's the Bills broadcast, but it's not Murph.
The Bills radio broadcast?
Oh, I guess
that's got to be their TV broadcast.
TV. Yeah.
Yeah, no,
Tasker's with the call, but
it's there's a specific reason that it has to be Murph, because Murph, in a good way, lost his mind on the first throw. Like, Murph was going crazy. Like, look how far this ball just went. And it was a preseason game. It was like the third quarter. And the ball sailed like 20 yards out of bounds, by the way. Like, this was not like some perfect pass.
It was completed.
For his first pass?
The one I should say. Well, it wasn't completed in terms of a completion, but someone did catch it just out of bounds.
Okay, yeah. That's what I mean. The ball was out of bounds.
Okay, the way you were saying, I thought you meant like it was in the stands or something.
No, it wasn't quite in the stands.
Someone
right,
did
yeah.
catch it, but it just was slightly out of bounds.
Yeah. Incomplete. Here it is. Incomplete deep left to Robert Foster. Caught out of bounds at the Carolina 23. Okay, right there. That's interesting that they even have where it was caught out of bounds. The pass was at his own 25. So how far was this pass? The 25 to the 50 plus 27 more. So I guess it was only a 52-yard pass.
But still.
It felt in the moment like it was 80.
After seeing a whole half of Nathan Peterman and A.J. McCarron,
yep.
It felt completely different than anything we had seen.
Peterman led them on a couple of touchdown drives, which is why, you know, he won the job. They did that throughout the preseason. Maybe that should be the numero uno on examples why you never take the preseason too seriously. Because we will look back in time, years from now, and chuckle at the fact that Nathan Peterman, who has to be still, I'd imagine, statistically the worst quarterback in NFL history, beat out Josh Allen, who's going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, in a quarterback competition. That happened. Peterman, who was a 49 in the new Madden game, by the way. Credit him for still being in the Madden game at 30 years old, but he's a 49, lowest rating in Madden. He won a quarterback competition in the preseason. The reason that preseason was interesting is just there was a quarterback competition. You know, we could argue about whether there should have been and whether you should use that. I mean, I was one who thought you start Allen the moment the season begins, and you don't look back. You go right in, you put him in right away, and you don't worry about it. And you let him go through his lumps, and you let him learn on the job. And at the same time, you find out as quickly as possible, do you have the guy? And luckily for the Bills, in my opinion, he did get to go through those lumps. They did get to see a little more and more of what he was. We got the moment, even in week 3 of that season, where he jumps over Anthony Barr, which is one of his iconic moments. We got all of that because Peterman was so bad, so horrifically bad, he couldn't make it through one half of week 1. Like, Allen was in. One way or another, whether he won the job or because Peterman was going to be so terrible, you had to put him in, he got there. They got him there, and he ended up starting, and they never looked back. So that preseason was very interesting for that reason alone. It was a triple quarterback competition, Peterman, McCarron, and Allen, who was a rookie at the time, and that was exciting. Now, I wouldn't say it's exciting. I mean, you could say that. But I wonder how much of a battle there is at receiver right now, and whether it is more down the depth chart, or whether it is something that even there's a battle going on for a starting spot. I feel like it's probably just going to be a rotation, and it might even be a pretty even rotation. But at the top of the depth chart, like Keon Coleman, if he wants to be a regular starter on this offense to begin the year, he's probably got to outperform Mac Hollins, because Mac Hollins seemingly has the trust of Allen. He has the respect of the quarterback and everybody on the offense. He has the skill set to provide a lot of the dirty work that Gabe Davis used to provide for the Bills. And I think he's at this point in time, he's carved out a nice little role for himself on the Bills offense where he's going to be playing. And right now, I don't know. I feel like right now I'd want to bet that it's at least close to 50-50, if not even advantage Hollins in terms of how often you're on the field once the regular season gets going. And Hollins is a little bit of an older player for his position. What is he, 31? So I don't know how much they would plan on even him playing in the preseason. Coleman, though, being a rookie, you would think, okay, he'll be out there. He'll be out there at least some. And the catching of the ball, I mean, that's gonna what's going to get people excited. If he catches a few passes in the preseason where he towers over a guy, mosses him, he, you know, the jump ball, basketball play, some touchdowns maybe in the red zone. Like, those are things that they'll be cool to see. And for fans, you know, and remember that I'm lucky enough to be able to watch these practices, but not all fans are. Some fans are that are making the trip, but not all fans have seen him in practice. You've been limited to some of the little clips that the Bills put out on social media. This will be a lot of fans' first opportunity to see Coleman. And it will be all of our first opportunity to see him in a game setting. So it will be, you know, there will be excitement. There will be a value to him making those catches. I just want to remind myself personally, like, that's not something I'm wondering if he can do. He can do it. He can take down those jump balls. He can beat out a Christian Benford, Kyrie Elam, Rasul Douglas level corner in a contested situation and rip the ball away for a touchdown. But I'm trying to figure out here, like, what is his role going to be and what is his upside as a player? And to me, I'm going to want to see him to be able to do some of the things that everyone said he couldn't do. No separation. Can I get a little separation? Can I get a little, you know, they're pressing me at the line of scrimmage, quick jab step right, swim move left, and I'm by him by a yard, and that's all I need to be able to get into a position for Allen to throw me the football. You know, like, is it that bad? Is it so bad that he's going to look like a real rookie out there, or am I going to be, all right, you know, this is not as bad as we thought it was. Maybe this was over talked about a little bit. Is he going to be someone that, you know, gauntlet drill, play speed is faster than the 40 time where he ran in the 4.6s? So, okay, is he going to be someone that is getting a little bit of room down the field? Is he going to be running routes down the field? And then at the same time, you know, I'm going to be wondering, can he do the things that everyone says he can't do well? And two, can he do the dirty work? I think if you're the Bills, you'd want to end up there by the end of the season. All the stuff that the block, a lot of it's blocking, right? Blocking, but also maybe like clear out routes that can get the defense to back off a little bit, that can open things up underneath for other receivers. Like that was, in essence, that was Gabe Davis's role on this offense for years. He would be their most valuable blocker as a receiver. He would run most of his routes, a lot of his routes, down the field, which, even when he wasn't getting the ball, would serve to, yeah, push the safeties back. And, okay, now 10 to 15 yards is a little bit more open than it otherwise would be because he's clearing those guys out. And Coleman, like, I don't know. I don't know if he'll be able to do either one of those things. I don't know what he is as a blocker. I have some good signs. Pro Football Focus and their run blocking grades last season in both college and pro. If you look at, again, this is kind of a tough comparison because one was against, you know, the ACC and the other was against other NFL players. But if you look at PFF's blocking grades from last year, Coleman's blocking grade in college was better than any receiver on the current Bills roster was last year. So in college, he was good at it. We'll see if he's good at it in the NFL. Last year he had, here it is, run block grades, from Pro Football Focus. Mac Hollins, of the current Bills receivers, was the leader of with 61. In Atlanta, he had a 61 run block grade. Everyone else, Shakir was at 54, Samuel 49, MVS 46, so on. Coleman in college was at a 68 or 67.9. So can that translate? Because if that can translate and he can do some things vertically, then okay. Maybe you do have your X. Brandon Bean said after the draft, like, we plan on playing him in the X. Well, all of those things is what the X does in this Bills offense. And that's, to me, like, I guess my expectations for Coleman are just not as high as most, and I've tried to keep them relatively the same to what they were before the Bills drafted him. That's one thing I try not to get sucked into is, okay, you do the research you do before the draft, you read up on all these guys, you watch some film breakdowns, you know, maybe you go back and you watch some of their college stuff, and you get as in tune with these players as you can get. And then they get drafted. And what I try not to do is completely change my tune on a player because the Bills drafted him. And I even with Coleman feel like I have a little bit. But it feels like you kind of, you know, them drafting him gives him a little bit of a credibility as an idea. It's just not a player I was ever that high on or wanted them to pick. But now he's here. And, you know, that doesn't mean he can't be a good player. Really, I almost want to say the biggest reason he wasn't my favorite idea for the Bills was not because I don't think he could be a good NFL receiver. It was the type of receiver that he is. But this is part of the transition, right? This is, you know, you didn't just have Diggs to replace. You had a Gabe Davis to replace. And while I think Coleman is a different type of player, I think his role eventually, if the Bills get their way and if their plan goes to plan, I think Coleman's role will be the role that Davis was playing. Like, I don't think he is ever going to be your Diggs replacement. He's never going to be your number one guy who is always open, you know, 1,500-yard receiver upside, 100-plus catches. I don't think that's Coleman. I don't think he'll ever be, I could be wrong, you know, A.J. Brown was a second-round pick. He ended up being this guy. I would not want to think Coleman's got the upside to be, okay, this guy's going to be a $30 million receiver someday, 1,500 yards, 100-plus catches, the number one focal point of an offense. I wouldn't predict he's got that upside. I think he could be a valuable receiver. I think he could be a good number two. I think he could do, you know, if you can get the blocking stuff out of him, he could, and because he's a big body and you get the red zone stuff, like, I think he could play his role, and I think he could play it well. But I feel like he's just not the type of receiver that I would have wanted them to have. So, you know, all that to say, I have expectations for Keon Coleman. They're just not, this guy's going to be their number one receiver someday. Like, I would take more and more, I think we asked this question earlier in the offseason, more and more as time goes on, and these practices happen, and here comes the preseason, and we get closer to the regular season, more and more, I am really, for this year alone, I am absolutely on board with, give me a Gabe Davis level of production in year one. And that would be, I almost want to even say a home run for Keon Coleman as a second round pick in year one. And then from there, you know, I would hope you can be a little bit better. A little bit better than a Davis. That's where my expectation is for him. And this preseason will be the first step in determining, okay, how much of that Davis role is he going to play? And how much of it is he going to do right away? Because if he can't, or if they think he is, it doesn't always have to be in a negative context, if they think he's better at something else, if they think, okay, yeah, big slot. This guy's a real weapon. We need to work him in those areas more often. A lot of those roads, whether it's we'd rather have him playing as a big slot more often, we want him in motion, or he's a rookie and he's still getting the hang of some things and he's not quite all the way there as a blocker yet, and teams don't respect his speed down the field, so those clear out routes, there aren't really, you know, they're not really respecting that. Like those, all those roads to me lead to Mac Hollins is playing on this offense. And if the preseason goes by and Coleman looks like a rookie, or looks like he's doing better at other spots, then that's where I'm interested in the preseason the most, because that is, that receiver spot is the one where I just don't know how often the guy's going to be out there, and that could be determined, I think, in the preseason. Samuel Shakir are going to be out there. Knox will get his snaps, but that other spot, how much of that can Coleman carve away? 803-0550 is the phone number. I want to go through, we'll get your phone calls in on the other side. I want to go through the division a little bit, position by position. You know, like, Allen's a cheat code, but how far ahead do we think the Jets, Dolphins, and to a much lesser extent the Patriots are ahead of the Bills outside of quarterback, if they even are? We'll workshop this, kind of run through it. Because I feel like the Bills are not, you know, I don't think they've been caught as much as the narrative might sound like by the Jets and the Dolphins with their rosters. 803-0550 is the phone number. Lot to get to today. The Bears tomorrow. We'll talk a little Bears. We'll get my brother on, Lou DiBiase, coming up at 9. In fact, he'll talk Bears because he loves the Bears this year, but also on the Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni saga that looks like a fractured relationship over there in Philly. That's a little bit later on in the show. Some fantasy along the way as well. We'll have a fun show. If you want to get your phone call in, we'll get to you right when we come back. Nick, we'll start with you if you hang on hold. Joe DiBiase, Jeremy White is off today. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh.
A little bit less reps with the ones today because we're playing the ones in the Buffalo game. So we're excited about that. Guys are juiced about it. In terms, we have a really good plan, a good process for that. We have a range of plays that we feel that are going to be good for those particular groups. I'm not going to get into talking about numbers, but we want to see a good flow and a good rhythm to it. But the starters that are available to us will play on Saturday.
That is Bears head coach Matt Eberflus on his team's plans for starters tomorrow. Did you know Matt Eberflus, who I still kind of can't believe they kept as head coach, is the favorite to win coach of the year?
What?
Now, again, though, like, coach of the year.
Who is he ahead of?
Everybody.
Well, I mean, I guess that's true. But, like, who are the next, like, two or three?
Let me pull it back up. Yeah, who's right behind him? What's amazing about coach of the year is we're all the way in now on coach of the year is just, hey, who has the biggest turnaround? He's ahead of Raheem Morris, Jim Harbaugh, Matt LaFleur. Those are the top three right behind him. Like, coach of the year is just, hey, did your team suddenly get better after being bad?
Yeah, but the
here's
question
coach
is
of the
how
year.
Much better? Like, did you go from one win to four wins, or did you go from four wins to the Super Bowl or something? Like,
right. The other nominees, by the way, Mike McDonald, Shane Steichen, Dave Canales. These are the next names. A lot of the new ones, right? Like, a lot of the first-time head coaches. If you're a first-time head coach, although this is not Eberflus, which is what makes this weird. First-time head coaches usually will get the credit for, hey, you turned the thing around. Congrats. You got there, and boom, it's better. Eberflus, like, I don't think he's a very good coach. I don't think he's so bad that he's going to hold them back this year. I think they're a playoff team. I love their roster, and I think Williams is talented enough that even as a rookie, he should be pretty darn good. Eberflus, though. Hey, they stuck with him, and I guess he's going to be there for if they have success a while. He's also a good idea, I feel like, for first coach fired. Like, one or the other. 803-0550 is the phone number. On talking about Keon Coleman's role, less so even, like, no, I guess his ceiling is a part of it. Like, I'm someone that doesn't think his ceiling is that crazy high. But his role is what's most interesting to me going into the preseason. Let's go get connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Nick in Rochester is first up. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's going on? I think the Bills must think his ceiling is pretty high. But if that's the case and they drafted him to be the X, I think that's a bit of a mistake. Because you can get, like you were talking about Matt Collins, you can get those guys in free agency fairly cheap if they want that role in the offense. But I think to draft a guy as high as they did to play that role in the same year that you got rid of Diggs and you didn't get a replacement, like you didn't go trade for Brandon Ayuk or you didn't go get another big wide receiver, I think it's actually harder for any rookie to step into a role like the X where they're blocking more. Whereas I think if they played him more as just a pure receiver, I think it actually would help him ramp up faster and help capture his upside better. What do you think about that?
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. Almost, you know, when Matt Collins does, you should be able to find pretty easily. And by the way, they did. Like, Matt Collins is not on a big contract at all. The dirty work, that should be, so you could find that from somebody. The true, like, why are some of the elite receivers in the league guys who play the X, which often just means, or not often, always means, you're up on the line of scrimmage, so you're getting pressed much more often. You're not getting a free release. You're not getting a 2-3 yard head start on a corner before he's allowed to make contact with you. This is play goes, you're getting stiff-armed right in the collarbone, or they're trying to do that to you, the moment the play is snapped. And it takes a different type of skill set. It takes a little bit more physicality to be in that role and also be an elite receiver. But you've got guys around the league that are able to do that. So what do they see as the ceiling for Coleman? I think they probably think. I don't know what they think. I know what I think. I don't think he's got that ceiling. Do they? Do they think he's got number one wide receiver traits, number one wide receiver ability? I mean, I don't know how far I want to go with this, but they did trade down out of his spot twice. And Bean admitted himself, he didn't know who Kansas City was taking. He thought it was a wide receiver. But he didn't know which one. So, if you thought, if you really had conviction, okay, this guy has got number one, top flight, wide receiver potential and can do it from the X position. If you thought that was his ceiling, I don't know. I feel like you'd have more conviction in the draft about that. There are big concerns that were there about his speed and about some of his numbers, yards per route run. He wasn't even number one in his own team. Last year, Johnny Wilson was, who, by the way, Eagles are putting him in as like a starting receiver, fifth round pick out of Florida State, who played opposite of Coleman at like 6'7". He's having a good camp. I don't know. You traded out of that spot twice. You must not have thought it was that likely he was the number one receiver because you traded a pick with the risk that Kansas City was going to take him. And, you know, if you were trying to predict in that moment who's Kansas City going to take, I could have got to Coleman. I could have got to Coleman. They had already signed Marquise Brown. Like, and they already have Rashee Rice, who is a very good yak receiver. So Brown with speed down the field, Rice with yak. Like, Worthy wouldn't have been the one I would have, you know, projected they pick. I think the type of receiver that Kansas City was missing is the big-bodied guy. So I might have thought Coleman for them. And the Bills, if you trust them at their word that they didn't know who Kansas City would take, like, they were willing to risk the Chiefs getting Keon Coleman. And, you know, I don't know about the Carolina one. Maybe they thought they knew Carolina liked Leggett. That one I don't remember if they had said whether they knew who Carolina was taking or not. But I remember Bean saying that about Kansas City. So, yeah, what do they think of him? I don't know. I tend to think they probably think Coleman's ceiling is likely to be a good number two receiver that has some faults, has some weaknesses, but they're going to try to maximize his strengths in the best way possible, which is use him in the red zone, have him be that jump ball guy, contested catch situations when Allen is scrambling out of the pocket and someone's got to work back to the football or he's got to put it somewhere that where someone's covered and he's your man. There's a role there for him. I don't know. I would be surprised if they think he's someday going to be their big $35 million receiver. Let's go to Peter in Massachusetts. What's up, Peter?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Okay, yeah. So yesterday I was listening to you disparaging the DL and wide receivers. So I just like to point out that last year the Bills had 54 sacks, the second most in Buffalo Bills history. We had tomato cans that had backup DTs. We had major injuries. This year we added Dwayne Carter. We added Fred Spook. We added Javon Solomon. It's a much more stout line. We had injuries last year. We got a healthy Milano. We got a healthy Daquan Jones. We had 54 sacks last year with tomato cans, and you're worried about the DL.
Well, they lost their number one sack. They lost their number one sack guy along the way too. Like that should be mentioned here. They lost Leonard Floyd.
Yeah, I mean, so you lost him, but I mean, you know, Ed Oliver's going to stock up.
Well, that was a fifth of their sacks last year. Was that one player?
And then we just added three more players. They're going to have more sacks. I guarantee you, between Smooth,
more smacks, Coleman, smacks than who?
And Carter, they have more sacks than Floyd. I'll make that bet anytime. Okay, so going back to the wide receivers, Mac Hollins does a lot more. First of all, he has an incredible catch percentage. The Bills could not drop everything last year, drop after drop after drop. They had tomato cans at 4 and 5 receiver last year. You know, Mac Hollins will catch everything. He's a beast of a blocker. He's an incredible special teams player. Gave them play special teams last year. He's an improved Gabe Davis, in my opinion. You know, you go through the lineup. I mean, they're going to have tough cuts with Shavers. You know, you're not including the tight ends. Tight ends is part of the receiving group. Kincaid is going to be a monster. Davidson is uncoverable right now.
Peter. Whoa, hold on. Davidson is uncoverable. Are we just going to go through the whole roster and everybody's great? Is that what we're doing here? Zach Davidson is uncoverable at practice?
That's right.
Do you know these things can be looked up, by the way, right? You know Mac Hollins has a 59% catch percentage for his career, right? Like, this is not a player that catches everything.
What was his catch percentage last year?
His catch percentage last year was 60%. Yeah. It was 1% better than his career average. Like, he's right around Gabe Davis. He is someone that runs down the field. Do you think he's a better player than Gabe Davis was?
Yes, I do. He's more around. Gabe Davis didn't play special teams.
Okay.
He was a good blocker. He was not the blocker Mac.
Is he a better wide receiver?
I think he's on par, and I think he's be more reliable.
All right, thanks, Peter, for the call. When we're getting to Mac Hollins is a better wide receiver than Gabe Davis, and Zach Davidson is uncoverable. Even before that, let me stick with the sack point for a moment. Because I don't even know how to address the other two. Like, I don't think Hollins is a bad player. When they signed him, I liked it. 2 years ago, he was, 690 yards and 4 touchdowns as a regular offensive player for the Raiders. He's never been a high catch percentage player for his career. He runs a lot of the routes Davis did. So he has a lower catch percentage for his career than, like, Shakir. What was Shakir last year? 92%? The defensive line has question marks. I think one of the few points I agreed with in there that Peter brought up was interior defensive line. Like, I think, man, the one rookie that I don't even know how often he gets mentioned in a conversation, Dwayne Carter, I'm wondering how good that guy could be. Maybe there's a stud in there. Because it's really, really tough to figure out in these practices how good are the linemen. Because they are not going all out. And a lot of these practices didn't even have pads. So figuring out how good a lineman is in training camp practice is probably the worst idea in the world. But, Carter looks like a beast. So we'll see. We'll see on him. But they added other guys too. Interior. Daquan Jones, by the way, you mentioned the guys got injured. Daquan Jones is injured again. Like, can I trust that guy to stay healthy? He missed the last couple of practices. He's got a groin injury. So, yeah, I would love to think he'll just be healthy all year, and that'll be an upgrade as a pass rusher in the middle. But I don't know if he's going to stay healthy. He's already hurt. But the edge is where this really matters most. And at the edge, I don't know how you can think they got better as a pass rushing unit when they lost their number one pass rusher. They had 54 and a half sacks last year. They lost a fifth of that in one guy. And the guy that you're hoping to replace that production, he could, but Von Miller is a question mark. I don't know what he's going to give them. I think I know for a fact he's going to give them more than he did last year, but that's because last year it was zero. Nothing. 3 tackles. He's going to do better than that. But can he be Floyd for me? Floyd was not, by the way, like their best win rate pass rusher. That was Rousseau. Rousseau had some really good pass rush win rate numbers. But Floyd was, he kind of became the, all right, it's third and long, and I got to put my 4 best rushers on the field. Maybe Floyd wasn't the best against the run, so he wasn't playing, 70% of the snaps. But when it was time to get pressure on the quarterback in an obvious passing situation, who was the guy that was out there on the field? Floyd. And one play that we forget about, because it came after the big famous play, which was Travis Kelce laterals the ball to Kadarius Toney. Uh-oh, Toney was offsides. Play gets called back on a penalty. We all kind of remember that as the end of that game. But what you might forget is on that series, 4th down, the game is not over. Mahomes has the football at midfield, down three. Fourth down. Who gets around his man right to Mahomes, and the pass goes to nobody because he got pressured? But the year before that, we remember the Von play, right? Von Miller gets to Mahomes. Mahomes scrambles out, forced into an interception. Who forced Mahomes into a bad throw to close out that regular season game against the Chiefs last year? It was Leonard Floyd. Can Von give them what Floyd did? I think he could, but I don't know that. Big question mark. 803-0550 is the phone number. Zach Davidson is uncoverable. I mean, he's been good. He's been good. I wouldn't say uncoverable, though. Time out here. Olympics are going on right now. The javelin throw at the moment. How far can we throw the javelin? They're throwing it like 60 yards. Do we think we can get to 30? I think I can get to 30.
I don't know.
How comparable is it to a football?
I feel like that's like the mistake you'd make. I feel like you'd try to throw it like a football and maybe it wouldn't work. I don't know. I've never
That's a great point. That's a great point. There's form here that would probably maybe it would go 5 yards because I just wouldn't know how to throw it. That's a good point. Jody Biasi, Jeremy White's off today. This is WGR. Team USA pulls it out yesterday against Serbia. That is going to go down as one of the greatest basketball games I've ever seen. How could it not? I mean, you've got an epic comeback. They were down 17 points. You've got superstars performing all over the place. Steph Curry with 36 points. You've got an MVP in Jokic on the other side, slugging it out with the U.S. If it were the gold medal game, it probably would be easier to call it like a legendary game. Steve Kerr said it was one of the great games of all time. In part two, because USA basketball and like Olympic basketball is so big, but you just so rarely would get competitive games because the U.S. was so dominant. So when you get one, like how many comeback game wins do they have like that? Saturday at 3:30, I believe, is the gold medal game. USA and France in Paris. And Joel Embiid picked Team USA over France. So he's going to get booed. By the way, this guy, Joel Embiid, pick a team. How in international sports like this are you allowed to just flip-flop? Embiid has played on some levels for France. Now he's playing for Team USA at the Olympics. And he made a comment this morning that at the next Olympics, he wants to play for Cameroon, which is where he was born. So you played for France in some of the youth leagues, I think, or youth level tournaments. You played for Team USA at the first Olympics. Now you're going to play for a third country. I guess do whatever you want. Anyways, 3:30 on Saturday for the gold medal game. Javelin throw continues right now. 803-0550 is the phone number. When we come back, a superstar receiver in the league, not named Brandon Ayuk, made some headlines and is now in it with his team, and maybe there's going to be another star receiver on the market at some point. I'm hoping, though, not for another year when the Bills can get in on that. And maybe that actually is likely. Timeout. We'll tell you all about what's happening with CeeDee Lamb in Dallas when we return. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Team USA pulls it out yesterday against Serbia. That is going to go down as one of the greatest basketball games I've ever seen. How can it not? I mean, you've got an epic comeback. They were down 17 points. You've got superstars performing all over the place. Steph Curry with 36 points. You've got an MVP in Jokic on the other side, slugging it out with the U.S. If it were the gold medal game, it probably would be easier to call it like a legendary game. Steve Kerr said it was one of the great games of all time. In part two, because USA basketball and like Olympic basketball is so big, but you just so rarely would get competitive games because the U.S. was so dominant. So when you get one, like how many comeback game wins do they have like that? Saturday at 3:30, I believe, is the gold medal game. USA and France in Paris. And Joel Embiid picked Team USA over France. So he's going to get booed. By the way, this guy, Joel Embiid, pick a team. How in international sports like this are you allowed to just flip-flop? Embiid has played on some levels for France. Now he's playing for Team USA at the Olympics, and he made a comment this morning that at the next Olympics, he wants to play for Cameroon, which is where he was born. So you played for France in some of the youth leagues, I think, or youth level tournaments. You played for Team USA at the first Olympics. Now you're going to play for a third country. I guess do whatever you want. Anyways, 3:30 on Saturday for the gold medal game. Javelin throw continues right now. 803-0550 is the phone number. When we come back, a superstar receiver in the league, not named Brandon Ayuk, made some headlines and is now in it with his team, and maybe there's going to be another star receiver on the market at some point. I'm hoping, though, not for another year when the Bills can get in on that. And maybe that actually is likely. Timeout. We'll tell you all about what's happening with CeeDee Lamb in Dallas when we return. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy's off today. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.